alone in the darkness, you're wondering, is Jesus still listening to me? Is he truly aware of my suffering? And is this the way it always will be? My friend, I know the answer to your question, but don't trust my opinion alone. You should ask the host of others, sisters and brothers, who've been there and their stories live on. Just as the woman at the well, the thief on the cross, the lame man who's walking, the dumb tell it all as the beggars and lepers who've been touched by his hand. Can he handle an impossible task. They'll know the answer, just ask. I too have stood in the darkness, not wanting to walk one more mile. My mind filled with unanswered questions, hiding tears behind every smile. But then I drew strength from those pilgrims, the ones who were the first to believe. When their faith reached out to touch him, his arms reached back to help them, and he's able to do the same for you and me. Just as the woman at the well, the thief on the cross, the lame man who's walking, the dumb tell it all as the beggars and lepers who've been touched by his hand. Can he handle an impossible task? They'll know the answer, just as. Just as the woman at the well, the thief on the cross, the lame man who's walking, the dumb tell it all as, the beggars and lepers who've been touched by his hand. Can he handle an impossible task? They'll know the answer. They'll know the answer. They'll know the answer. Just ask.
We're so pleased to have Brother B.G. Buchanan as our special speaker at this Overliving Conference. Brother Buchanan's been preaching the Word of God for a long time, been in Baton Rouge for over 30 years, and has the testimony of always standing straight, walking right, and telling truth. He's a friend to preachers and a servant to God, and we're delighted that he's here. Thank you, Brother Buchanan, for your faithful, good testimony. He did say that his wife sang the song to him every morning when he wakes up, "He's mine."
Boy, it's good to be saved, isn't it? I'm glad I'm not shoveling coal with a pope. Brother Zed, who used to be my assistant pastor in Baytown, Texas, now said he'd never go to Texas for anything. And now he don't like to come back to Baton Rouge. He and I were in a barber shop getting a haircut, and the barbers were Catholics. And so one of them was cutting my hair, and Brother Bazette, before he got saved, he used to fight, and he'd take his clothes off so he wouldn't get them bloody. And then he got saved, and God did a wonderful work in his life, and I can tell you a good story about that one of these days. And he was reading the newspaper, and that barber got to the point where he was shaving outline around my ears back when I had hair. And I talked to him about the Pope, and the barber said, "What do you think he is?" And I said, "Shoveling coal." And Brother Zed said, he said, "Where's that?" And I said, "In hell." He said, "Preacher, that guy had a razor on your throat." I said, "Yeah, but I had a 45 in his belly button." Amen. Let me read this to you right quick, and then we'll get right into the message, and I'll try to do like my mama's biscuits, put a little shortening in it so we can get out of here. Boy, the preaching's been good, hasn't it? I need every bit of it. Matter of fact, I won't have to prepare any sermons for 2 or 3 weeks now. That's why I like to come to these things. Amen. This is a letter from a farm kid who's now at Parris Island Marine Corps, a recruiting depot and off the coast. "Dear Ma and Pa, I'm well, hope you are. Tell Brother Walt and Brother Elmer the Marine Corps beats working for old man Mitch by a mile. Tell them to join up quick before maybe all of the places are filled. I was restless at first because you got to stay in bed till nearly 6 a.m. Didn't get much help there, did I? In Arkansas, Brother Suggs, if you get a divorce from your wife, is she still your cousin? Okay. I just wondered about that. 14 years old. Yeah, okay. Anyway, but I'm getting so I like to sleep late. Tell Walt and Emerald all you do before breakfast to smooth your cot, shine some things, no hogs to slop, feed to pitch, mash to mix, wood to split, fire to lay, practically nothing to do. Men got to shave, but it's not so bad. We got hot water here. Breakfast is short on trimmings like fruit. It's strong on trimmings like fruit, juice, cereal, eggs, bacon, etc., but kind of weak on chops, potatoes, ham, steak, fried egg, plant pie, and other regular breakfast food. But tell Walt and Elmer you can always sit with them two city boys that live on coffee. Their food plus yours holds you till noon when you get fed again. It's no wonder these city boys can't walk much. Well, we go on route marches, which the platoon sergeant says are long walks to harden us up. If he thinks so, it's not my place to tell him different. A route march is about as far as our mailbox is at home. Them city boys get sore feet, and we all ride back in the back in a truck. The country's nice, but awful flat. The sergeant's like a school teacher. He nags a lot. The captain's like the school board. Majors and colonels just ride around and frown. They don't bother you none. The next is going to kill you, Walt and Elmer, with laughing. I keep getting medals for shooting. I don't know why. The bullseye is about as near as big as a chipmunk's head and don't move. And it ain't shooting back at you like your Mohegan boys do at home. All you got to do is lie there all comfortable and hit it. You don't even have to load your own cartridges. They come in boxes. Then we have what they call hand-to-hand combat training. You get to wrestle with them city boys. I got to be careful, they break real easy. It ain't like fighting with that old mule and bull back home. I'm about the best they got except for that one Tug Jordan from over at Silver Lake. I beat him once. He joined up same time as I did. But I'm 5'6", 130. He's 6'8", and weighs 300 pounds dry. Be sure to tell Walt and Elmer to hurry and join before them other fellas get into this setup and come stampering in. Your loving daughter, Mary Ann. That's good, ain't it? Well, in a minute, you're not going to be laughing, so I thought I'd get you laughing there a little bit. You know, it's a great responsibility to preach the gospel. And I don't ever do it lightly. I like to have fun with people. I believe God has a sense of humor. You ever been to a zoo? If you don't think God's got a sense of humor, next time you come to my place, I'll take you out to the college called Lucifer State, LSU. Now look around this room if you don't think God's got a sense of humor. But it's an awful responsibility to preach, especially to people and preachers. And I don't think you ought to do it lightly, and I never do it lightly. One of my fellows said to me the other time, he said, "Preacher, I'm always scared." And I said, "Good. That'll make you dependent." And I want to speak to you this morning on something I think is very important. If you look in the book of Hebrews, please, and chapter number 2, the book of Hebrews, chapter number 2. And I want us once again to stand in honor of God's word. And I'm going to read, beginning in verse 1, and read just a few verses. Hebrews 2, verse number 1. I love and appreciate Dr. Bob Smith. I don't know how much I could tell him how much I love him and appreciate him for what he's done for me. And also my good friend Gene Wolfenbarger. He and I were in school together, and we almost got kicked out, almost several times, especially when we'd walk through the student union building and say, "There's a new name written down in glory." Them guys that believe whatever will be wasn't going to be, but was going to be, didn't like that. And several things, and we finally made it. And thank God, they told us we'd never make it. Now we don't know where they are. Amen? Chapter 2 of the book of Hebrews, we're going to cross-reference it all the way back to the book of Genesis and go to the book of the Revelation. Then you'll have a real Bible education. No, we're not. Listen closely. "Therefore, we are to give the more earnest heed." Say that with me, please. The what? More earnest heed. Say this with me. "To the things which we have heard." Say it. "To the things which we have heard. Lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect, not lose, so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak." All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for saving sorry old sinners that deserve, I mean absolutely, and everybody in this room that's saved knows that we deserve to burn in hell. Nothing good that we did, nothing good. Nothing good really we're doing now, except, as we already heard, just serving you. But you saved us. And boy, all the good things Paul said that accompany salvation. We have peace in our hearts. Today, even the world around us may be raging. We can have peace in our hearts. And what we heard today, we have the very access to the very throne of God. Anytime, day or night, we can say, "Our Father," and you're listening. And Lord, thank you for letting us live in America. God, please help our country today. We need you more than we've ever needed you in this country, dear God. Please help us. And Lord, thank you for this good church here that's sponsoring this meeting. And Lord, help and bless these people, and you will. And help us to be grateful to them. And Lord, thank you for the preacher, Brother Smith, and the vision he has and his burden. And Lord, help me now to be a blessing. I don't want to waste anyone's time. There's people come here that have put aside other things. And Brother Smith asked me to come, and he spent good money to get me here, me and my wife, and I want to be a blessing. And please help folks to open their hearts and have Holy Spirit anointed ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Out in the world today, and you know this already, and I'm going to speak on this. I'm going to speak on identity crisis. Identity crisis. There's a real threat today, and it's happening while you're sitting here, that people are stealing other people's social security numbers. And they're stealing their credit card numbers. And they're taking their identity and embezzling thousands of dollars. In our part of the country here last year, there was a man rigged a little camera above an ATM slot. And when people would go up to put their card in to get money out, that little camera would automatically click on, and he would get the number off their card, and he would take it and duplicate it, and then he got thousands of dollars on somebody else's name. Now, listen to me. There has been a slow process to steal the identity of old-fashioned, fundamental, independent, blow in the bottle, spit in the sand, jumped over the wall, hallelujah, shouting badly. And it's working. Now, just say amen or act like you got a stomachache and go home. And if you get up and go out, we'll know whose side you're on. Now, if you do have to scratch, you can go out. That's the only reason. I got saved in an old-fashioned independent Baptist church. I have no church background. I'm not proud of that. Here a while back on Wednesday night, one of our young girls who worked with another lady who honestly, and I want to say this carefully so you understand, from here down, if she didn't have any clothes on, you couldn't put a stick on her that you didn't hit a tattoo. Brought her husband. He had long hair, had it curled up. Super deluxe Cajun from way below New Iberia. And he didn't want to come, and they came, and they come in, and they were a little nervous, and I can understand that. And that's the same way I was when I walked into that church on Dean Road. And I usually teach on Wednesday night how many angels can stand on the point of a needle and all that kind of stuff, or why Jesus never did get married because he's the smartest man ever lived, and all those things, you know. Anyway, and I look back there, and I could tell he's a little nervous, and I said, okay, God, now we got to move off the subject a little bit tonight. And I said, you know, I'm not a church kid. And boy, he picked up. I'm not kidding you. You could see him. He picked up. He set up. And I said, I never sat in a church like this when I was a kid. Man, he picked up some more. And I said, I never met my dad's dad. He picked up a little more. I said, I don't know my dad's mama. And I said, I was on my way to hell and walked into an old-fashioned independent Baptist church. Now, they both got saved later. But after that service that night, he said, you're a heathen too, huh? I said, yeah. Now, folks, I got saved not in the Methodist church, whatever that is, or Whiskey Payton, or First Southern. I got saved in an old-fashioned independent Baptist church. Brother Smith knew my preacher. He was a Marine. And when he got up, there wasn't no Bible study on Wednesday night. It was knock them out dead, kill them dead, or leave them alive, one or the other. And he had false teeth, and every now and then they'd get a little loose while he's preaching. He'd have to kind of keep them up. Now, that's where I got saved. I don't know anything else. Excuse me, I'm going to dance with the one that brung me. I don't want to know anything else. Amen. See, if it worked back then, it'll work today. You say, no, it won't. Yes, it will. I'm telling you, it will. And I said to my people years ago, and I've said around the country, And I'm not a prophet, neither son of a prophet, but I'm not stupid. I said fundamental Baptists are going to start changing, and they changed a lot of them. Now, sit up and listen to me, show a little character, and if you want to correct what I got to say, you can do it after we all go home. Amen? The word slip, notice the word slip. Paul said, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. That means to flow past. That means to glide by. That means to cease to remember. Have you ever said this? That just slipped my mind. Have you ever said that? Raise your hand. I want you to see the intensity here of the Apostle Paul. Look back again there at verse 1. Notice what he said. He just didn't say give heed. He just didn't say give earnest heed. Watch this. He said give the more earnest heed. Now, if you're saved, you can sense the intensity of the great preacher. You say, do you think Paul wrote the book of Hebrews? Yeah, if he didn't, Jack Hiles did. And if Jack Hiles didn't read it, John R. Rice wrote it. But I think we ought to give the Apostle Paul credit for it. And can't you sense the intensity in what he's saying here? Now, I know he's talking about salvation. I know that. And if we're not careful, we neglect that. We let things go by. I'm not going to forget what happened to me on Dean Road over 40 years ago. I'm not going to forget that. I'm never going to forget that on a Wednesday night. I know what happened to me. My life became brand new right there. I became a brand new creature. I'm never going to forget that. And listen to me, I don't mind telling people about that. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved today. Also, he said, give the more earnest heed. That means to listen very carefully. That means to pay attention to. Now, you can sense the intensity in this man's warning here. Now, we got some young people sitting over here, and I want them to know what an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist is like. That's what they need. Listen to me. Let me tell you something, buddy. Let me tell you something. That's what we were years ago, and that's how you got to where you are now. It wasn't compromising the Word of God. It was some old-fashioned, independent Baptist preacher. He didn't give a rip what anybody said, and he didn't tie his tie correctly most of the time. He wasn't worried about impressing the banker. He wanted to be full of God. He wanted to get up and preach to people. He wanted to help. We owe them a lot. Excuse me, non-filters. And, well, I'm glad you can laugh. We owe them. We owe them. We owe the J. Frank Norris's. We owe them. We owe the John R. Rice's and the Jack Hobbs. We owe them. We owe the Lee Robertson. We owe them something. And that's for us to stand exactly where we've always stood. Now listen to me. He gives a solemn warning here. He said, no neglect what he's talking about. And then, a solemn warning about neglecting your salvation. He says, don't neglect it. And notice again, he said, it's so great salvation. Now listen to me, folks. We have been given a lot as independent fundamental Baptists. It's great. It's not second rate. It's not something that just dropped down yesterday. It is great. Now let me tell you what they're stealing from us. Number one, our preaching. Our preaching. Now hear me, I'm not against five-point stuff and throwing something up on a wall and all that kind of stuff, but whatever you do on the DVD, I'm not against that. But nothing replaces preaching. Nothing replaces preaching. I'm going to tell you something. Just about every decision you ever made is because some preacher got up and preached with a 4-foot flame jumping out of his nose, and his britches got down past his shoes and his liver was half hanging out. And let me tell you something. You made a decision off preaching. You didn't make a decision off some psychology teaching. Amen. You made a decision because some red-hot preacher got up, buddy, and he preached the Word of God. And we used to be known, Brother Pendleton, for our red-hot preaching. And now we've become friendly. Now we've become, don't embarrass anybody. Let me tell you something, my friend. You look in the Bible, John the Baptist came, buddy, preaching. He didn't come teaching some psychology book. He didn't come following some modernist. And he come preaching, and he looked at him, and he said, repent! He said, you generation of vipers, you repent! Jesus came preaching. He said, let me tell you something. He said, you're like dead men. He said, you're like white scepter. He came preaching, didn't he? And you listen to me, buddy, we cut our teeth on red-hot preaching, and if we're not careful because we want to be sinner-friendly and because we want to act like executives and we want to be known for our Greek and our Hebrew and our teaching, we're letting them steal our preaching. Yeah, it's good. You know it's good. You just ain't got the guts to admit it. I ain't worried about preaching for you. You take the crowd you got. Go with them. If you're preaching from the Bible, if you're longing for revival, preach on. Amen. Preach on sin and condemnation. Preach to sinners his salvation. Preach to Christians consecration, but preach on. Amen. If your sermon is from the Lord, never mind. If some look bored, just preach on. Amen. If the devil looks down on it and the critics frown on it, many souls depend on it, so preach on. If you step on somebody's corns, take the bull right by the horns and preach on. Even though we may not like it, even though some try to fight it, when they're wrong, the Lord can right it. Just preach on. Christ can save, listen to me, a soul from hell, cleanse the heart and make him well, even if it's after 12. Preach on. From the law to revelation, Christ for every situation, preach on. Even if your members doubt it, and say they can do without it, even if you talk to God about it, just preach on. Think of Christ's own message clear. Therefore, all who wish to hear, just preach on. Listen to me. All the sinners, they must know that his blood did freely flow and can wash them white as snow. Just preach on. In the Holy Spirit's power, he'll reward you in his hour. Just preach on. Broken hearts and sins forgiven. Blessings here so freely given and a crown up there in heaven. Just preach on. Abraham Lincoln said, I want to hear my preacher preach like he's fighting a swarm of bees. And listen to me, I preached to just about every so-called big shot in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, the mayors, the chief of police, and everybody, and every one of them walked out and said, we've been to church today, and you listen to me, I can tell you something, I'm not going to compromise if the president comes, or if his wife comes, or whoever comes. Buddy, I'm going to preach the word of God. That's the way it used to be, amen? And we wasn't worried about who had this money, and who had that money, and who looked like what. We got up, and we wanted to preach the word of God so bad we couldn't hardly stand. Why have we changed? You let somebody steal that from you. Listen to me. We used to be known for our fervor and our zeal, didn't we? Amen. Now we're everybody's buddy. Amen. We dedicated our new building several years ago, and the banker, he came, and he goes to Florida Boulevard Baptist Church, the Southern Baptist Church, and they have an early service, not because of the crowd, but because of convenience. If you haven't heard of service because of convenience, I suggest you get right with God. Boy, the amens are flooding me out now. And he said to me later in the week, he said, brother, you can't, that's the kind of preaching I used to hear when I was a kid. I said, yeah, but banker, I said, you know what? You like that early service because you can do like the Catholics, do what you want to the rest of the day on Sunday. He said, you're exactly right. Show me where you serve God through convenience, man. One time we had the mayor of Baton Rouge in there, the mayor of Baker, the mayor of Walker, the mayor, everybody in there. Had the sheriff, chief police, commander of state police, all in there. And I was preaching, boy, just preaching up a storm. And the sheriff, he came back the next Sunday. Now the sheriff in Louisiana, he's the chief law enforcement officer. He's above everybody. Nobody's above him. We have parishes, we don't have counties. He's the sheriff over the whole parish. He came back the next Sunday, and I recognized him. He was saved, and got up and gave a testimony about being saved. And he came back about 2 weeks later, and he said, now, just don't say anything about it. He said, I'm coming. And so he came, and he came one Sunday, him and his wife, and I was up preaching. We was about to have a mission conference, and I said, you know, we need everybody to kind of give a little bit extra for missions. And I just got to preaching good, and I said, if everybody in this town preached like I did, we'd have a different city. That next week, I got a little note in the mail from Miss Litchfield, his wife, and she said, personal preacher Buchanan. Inside was a check for $50 for our missions. And she said, Brother Buchanan, now whether you like this or not, I don't give a rip. Before I got up here a while ago, I drank 2 gallons, I don't give a rip. So let's just settle that. You got it? She said, you're right, we've been to every church in this city if everybody preached like you did. You say you're bragging on yourself? No, I'm just telling you what you used to do. Every year in Baton Rouge, they have Law Enforcement Appreciation Day, a Law Enforcement Memorial Service. And this had it last Tuesday, and they always asked me to come, and they recognize the fellows who've given their lives in the line of duty. And I get to have a part of it. And I went down there one time and walked along with the sheriff, and we're going inside. Now, the mayor in Baton Rouge, he appoints the chief of police. That's his job, one of them. So I was walking along with the sheriff, and we walked in, and the mayor said, hey, there's my new chief of police, that preacher right there. And the sheriff said, no. If he is an authority, if you run a stop sign, you'd get the electric chair if he's the boss. Well, where do you stand, son? If they came to your church, where would you stand? Where would they think you stood? Amen. Do you need to take off your silk underwear and put on some real men stuff or something? Huh? One year I went in, and one of the ladies in the office said, Brother, you can, Mr. Litchfield, like if you'd come to his office a little early before they have the service for the memorial service for the officers. And I said, okay. And I went down to his office, and he sat behind his chair, Brother Smith, in his office, and he said, preacher, my wife, he said, an unusual thing happened to my wife. He said, we went to watch our grandsons play, and he said, play ball, and he said, kid hit a foul ball, and it come back and hit my wife right in the side. He said, we didn't think anything about it at that time, but he said, later on, a big cyst grew, and he said, boy, I like that, lost her, and he said, she's sick right now. And I said, Sheriff, let's me and you pray right now. And he said, That's why I ask you to come. Hey, we had several lawsuits against us. And I called the district attorney. He's been in my church. And he said, don't worry, Brother Buck, I'll take care of it. What are you doing? Playing tiddlywinks, momly peg, whatever that is anymore. I don't know what that is. Let me tell you something, folks. Listen to me. The word fundamental independent Baptist used to be synonymous with enthusiasm, old-fashioned preaching. I'm talking about hell-raising preaching. Amen. You see, we came from nothing to being somebody, and now our position has stolen our practice. Say amen right there. You say, oh, there ain't nothing to a name. Well, let's just put your first name and put a blank and let somebody put fungus there for the last name. Yeah, there's something to a name. There's something to Hunch Ketchup and Del Monte and all that stuff. They're not generic stuff, buddy. There is something to a name. If you're not proud of your name, something wrong with you. Yeah, there's something to a name. It's not just Central Church. It's Central Baptist Church. It's not just Trinity Church. It's Trinity Baptist Church. And you say, well, if we take that name Baptist off, we won't be so offensive. Yeah, that's your problem. And used to, you wasn't worried about that. And you wanted to please everybody to come to town. But, buddy, let me tell you something. You hear me. There's something about preaching that'll move people. I can prove it. I've been doing this for years. And I can give you story after story after story. Jesus is preaching either pushed people away or it drew people to him. There was no middle ground. Listen to me. We were once known for our stand, now it's stained. Amen. So they're still in our old-fashioned preaching. You're going to really like this one. They've stolen our godly music. Yeah. Yeah. Let me tell you something, folks. Music ain't to move your foot. It's to move your heart. I want you to listen to this and tell me what's wrong with it. Now, I would sing for you. Somebody said they can't carry the tune to bucket. I can't even tote the bucket. And Branson's already told me not to jump on the pews. And I told him I couldn't kick that high anymore, but I can still kick pretty high. I want to ask you what's wrong with this. Now, listen real close. Listen real close. There's tons of them in here. By the way, you know every song right here in this book, every song in this book was used in revival in America. I was preaching with Jack Freeburn in the desert, California. He and Mike Zachary researched every song that's ever been used in revival, and it's in this book. And he walked up to me. He said, Brother Cam, would you look this music over tonight before you go to sleep? And I looked over next morning. He said, what do you think? And I said, that's wonderful. He said, me and Brother Zachary went back, and we tried to find every song that God used in revival in America. How about your bouncing bubble? Was that used in revival? How about stand up seven times, sing it 11 times? Now, I'm telling you, folks, I'm that's the one that brung me. What can wash away my sin? Say it, say it, say it. Say it, folks. Now, you're not supposed to sing that swallowing the microphone. That's showmanship. Amen, Buchanan. Go ahead, son. Everybody used to like this. What can make me whole again? What, folks? Oh, precious is the flow. That makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And that wasn't written to make somebody $1 million and put him in a big bus and miss Sunday school and church. That was written to help you. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the bleed of Jesus. Nothing, listen, nothing can my sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Naught of good have I done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Hey, no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. What's wrong with that? That used to be common stuff. And you see little widow women reaching their pockets instead of dancing. And they start crying a little bit. And you'd see old hardened sinners sit there in your church. And they'd hear that and they'd start crying. Now they want to get up and do a little dance, you know, and all that stuff, you know. Amen, Buchanan, keep on, son. I'm used to being by myself and it don't bother me. A street fighter, he thinks he can do everything by himself. It don't bother me. And, you know, a guerrilla fighter, he just says, leave me alone, I'll handle it. Amen. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. You reckon that won the Dove Award? Hello, come on, some of you sissies, help me a little bit here. Well, we'll get a big crowd if we get them guys in. What are you going to have when they leave? Get you a flea and an elephant in. Let them fight. Get you a crowd over that. Forbid it, Lord, should I should boast, saving the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice it to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet. Sorrow and love flow mingled down. Listen to this, Brother Gerald. Did ever such love and sorrow meet? Or thorns compose such rich a crown? Were the whole nature of a realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small? Love so amazing, so mighty, so divine, demand my best, my love, my all. It's what we used to have. There was no songbooks in Highland Park Baptist Church the other day, were there? Not a songbook in Highland Park Baptist Church. Ask Brother Ogden, he was there. Ask Brother Smith, he was there. Dr. Lee Robson come back from the dead, he'd have a fit. Isn't that sad? No songbooks. Now, you know, listen to me. Let me tell you something. They stolen our godly music, and they put it to money making. They put it doing everything. Hey, you come to church to hear preaching, man. You come to church to get your. It's not a party. You don't come to church to party. Listen to me. Listen. If your identity is violated, it corrupts your name and it corrupts your seed. Now, you can mark me if you want to, and I'm already marked. I'm marked in Baton Rouge. I'm marked in Louisiana. I don't give a rip. My last name is Buchanan. I'm a fundamental independent Baptist. Old-fashioned. Ain't going to change. John Rollins offered me tons of money to change, and I told him to keep it. You say you oughtn't to say that publicly. Well, it's public on the phone. He said, I'll fly you all over the world. And I said, I'm not going to do it. He said, you're stupid. I said, I'm just going to stay stupid. He said, you ain't got no sense. And I said, I'm going to stay that way. He said, what's your problem? I said, I got to face several people. Number one, the Lord. I said, number two, my sweet wife. I said, number three, I got to face three kids that all they've ever heard is old-fashioned, fundamental, independent Baptist preacher. My boy's going to preach tomorrow night at our graduation. I'd hate for that boy to say, my daddy stole it all down just to get a crowd. Now, you can like that a lump if you want to. That's why I'm going to do it. Amen. And then they've stolen our distinctives. You're going to really like this one. I'm going to lose the whole crowd here. Brother Smith already gave him a love offering, so I ain't worried. By the way, if you have me in, forget the love. Just give me an offering. I don't care if they love me or not. I'm having a good time. Some of you are miserable. We may just go right through lunch here. They've stolen our distinctives. I asked the great preacher years ago named Dr. Lee Robertson. I said, Doc, what do you see? One of the things you see, we're losing our churches. And he said, Brother Ken, we're losing our distinctives. Listen to me. There's a big difference in church music and worldly music. There's a big difference. Church music ought to be distinctively different. You know, years ago, right across from me, we have Jimmy Swindler, a swagger. And he jumped onto Walmart for selling bad music. They put a big caption in the paper and said, it seems like our music's not much different than yours. Hello. Amen. Deal or no deal? Huh? Yeah. Now, folks, let me tell you something else they've stolen. It's the way we dress. See, used to, when you had some guts, I'm talking about old-fashioned guts, not intestinal fortitude, guts. You got that? Yankees don't know what that is, but you Southerners do. There was a difference between a woman and a man and the way they dressed. And there was a difference between the way Dolly Parton dressed and a pastor's wife dressed. Wait just a minute. You don't like us? Wait just a minute. Run into that doing about 40. Bro West, would you come help me get this down? Used to, some of you had your kids dressed right. You had your staff dressed right. You had your school dressed right. Come on, folks. Hey, let's read the book of Timothy, what becomes a woman. You say it don't make any difference. How come you used to think it make the difference? You know that woman we got saved? Tattoos all over, and that fella, you'll see where they're dressed now, Brother Smith. I don't hardly have to say anything about this at all. You know why? Because people see our choir. They see the ladies get up and sing a special. They watch them when they come in. I don't have to say much about this. And they look at our boys, and they don't have to look in their face to see if they're a man or a boy. Years ago, my wife used to take care of junior camp food. And she had a good deal with a guy that worked at Winn-Dixie. And we'd feed a bunch of little bus kids, about 300 of them, for nearly nothing. She went there one day to get the food, and the manager of Winn-Dixie said, "Wait just a minute." He said, "My wife's in here. I want her to meet you, Mr. Buchanan." You say you're bragging again? Yeah. He said, "His wife, I want you to meet a real lady." Now, I'm going to tell you something. If a woman can throw a football like a man, I don't want to be around her. Now, if she can make good biscuits, I want to be around her. And not pound, that's the best biscuits I ever eat out of a can, not them kind. See, one time we were concerned about raising godly girls. But you know what happened to you? They've told their mom and daddy what they're going to do, and you listen to mom and daddy because you don't want to offend the whole family. Amen. Now, they've stolen that from us. They've stolen that distinctiveness from us. You say, "Well, the Mormons." Oh, yeah, how come you recognize Mormons? You say, "It don't make any difference the way they dress," but you do know who they are. You remember used to, you could tell the old-fashioned Assembly of God women? You knew who they were. And you remember used to, in a fundamental independent Baptist church, everyone that sang a special, and everyone that sang the choir, and everyone that was faithful, you could tell who they were. What happened to that? They stole it from us, Brother Smith. They stole it from us. Because you see, we want to mix in and we want to be sinner friendly. Now, I'm for being friendly with sinners, but they're winning us. And a contemporary crowd's winning us. Now, listen to me. They ain't going to steal it from me. Anybody teaches Sunday school in our church, sings, or whatever, they almost have to fill out federal papers to do it. You say, "I don't like it." You ain't the pastor of Central Baptist Church in Baton Rouge. I is. Amen. Now, see, you say, "Well, it ain't going to make no difference the way they dress." Well, it makes a difference the way my wife dresses. And it makes a difference the way our leadership dresses. You say, "You're forcing something on them." You know what? It's amazing. Let me tell you what's amazing, Brother Sugg. Now, if you go to the doctor and he tells you, you better do something. If you walk out there and cuss him, say, "I ain't going to do it." "No, I'm going to do what the doctor said." Then the preacher gets up and tries to help us. And we say, "Smart act." No, he's trying to help you. Amen. And by the way, amen, before I got saved, Brother Reed, whatever you wanted to sell or give away, you advertised it. You say, "I don't understand that." Well, ask some of these old guys used to be hoodlums. They understand that. Hello. Deal or no deal? They're stealing things from us. They stole our preaching. Now we want to get up and, you know, we want to impress everybody. And they stole our music. And then they're stealing our distinctives. I was telling, I don't remember who it was this week, the church bought me a brand new 02 Chevrolet pickup for my 25th anniversary. And as soon as I got it, I took it to the muffler shop and I said, "Take everything off of it you can take off. Because when I crank it up 4 miles away, I want somebody to hear it." You say, "You think that's distinctively different?" Yeah, it is. And then I lowered it 2 inches because it sits like a farm truck. One of my girls, our girls in our church, listen to me, she was working for a guy whose first name was Matt. He was 39 years old and he owned 5 car dealerships. 5. That's pretty big. And I said, "Sarah, Do you think I can get an audience or to speak with your boss? She was sort of like a nanny to his kids. She said, "Yeah, preacher." I said, "Now I don't want you to get in trouble. I don't want him to think you're politicking him." So she calls me. She gives me his personal cell phone number. And I called him up. And the first thing he said to me, "Where'd you get that girl?" And I said, "She fell out of a spaceship." He said, "Where'd you get that girl?" I said, "She's one of our girls about to graduate from our school." He said, "I've never had a teenager work for me like that before." Now, I don't recommend this. He and his buddies, they go off on a weekend, leave their kids with her. Thousands of dollars. He said, "Can I keep her?" I said, "No." He said, "How many more you got like that? How many you got like that?" You see, if a woman sits down like a man, there's something wrong. And you have to pretty well set feminine if you got a dress on. Wait just a minute. Brother Branscombe, you're going to have to help me. Run into that. Amen. You know, I didn't marry a woman that had monkey grease all over her face and a ranch in her hand saying, "Can I fix your car for you?" "Well, Smith, I'll pay you if you let me preach on for a while." I said, "Sir, you're not going to keep her." He said, "Where's she going?" I said, "To college to get an MRS degree." He said, "Preacher, is there any kids like this left in the world?" I said, "We have them." I get phone calls all the time. I'm not kidding you, almost once a week. All of our teenagers go soloing on Wednesday afternoon. You see, you can't play sports, you can't spit, you can't breathe at our church if you don't go soul winning. Amen. See, I don't like it. I'm pastor of Central Baptist Church. Now, ain't no kid going to run out there and play football and look like a big star if he ain't a soul winner. And by the way, I doubt if he'll ever be a Roger Staubach, but he could be a preacher one day. I get calls all the time. Pastor Buchanan, there was two or three of the nicest teenagers I ever met knocked on my door. Here a while back, we had a family come, older family. I went out to visit them, and I said, "Why did y'all come?" And they said, "Because of those kids you got knocked on our door." Is there something wrong with that fellow? I'm talking about an America like your mom and daddy knew. Wait a minute, your grandmom and grandpa knew. I'm talking about like an America even years ago when women didn't go to church, but they dressed like women. Come on, folks. Wife, you still love me, don't you? She still loves me. That's enough. Now, come on, fellas. There's a great move on today to steal our identity. And it's working. Hey, amen, it's working. I'm sorry, and I'm not a big shot. I found out that big guns are just big bores. You'll get that later. But why should it be any different than when I got saved on Dean Road over 40 years ago? Why should it be any different? I'm going to tell you something. I got preacher boys everywhere and people. I'd hate for them to say, "My preacher's changed. My preacher's changed." Listen, I'm concerned. I'm not just a smart aleck. I just get antagonistic and make people nervous every now and then. If you're not concerned, there's something wrong with you. Well, who else is going to do the job? You know why God raised us up? To do the job. Would you pray with me? Let's stand together. Maybe you heard something from the first preacher or the second preacher, and God spoke to your heart. Well, thank you for responding to the invitation without much urging. Hey, there's a process you've got to go through if you're going to be used to God. And don't forget where you came from. I wrote down while Brother Rice was preaching, but I had that verse, weak eyes and a bad memory. Because if you're not careful, you'll forget where you came from. And then Brother Sugg was really talking about me when he's talking about poor Gideon. And maybe God spoke to your heart somewhere. Now, I'm not trying to get you to come pray. I'm not trying to get you to do that. I want the Holy Spirit to touch your heart. Let me ask you something. Heads are bowed. Do you like traitors? that run from America and go somewhere else. No, if you're a real American, you don't like those kind of people. How about fundamental Baptists that are traitors? How about them? Heavenly Father, Lord, everybody in this room is saved, has a person living in them. He's called holy. He's called the Holy Ghost. He's not just some ghost. He's called the Holy Ghost. And years ago, that meant something to us. And our speech was holy. And our business mannerisms were holy. And our churches, we tried to be holy. And we tried to get people to live holy. But if we're not careful, that's going to be taken from us. And it's happening slowly. We're letting it slip. Lord, please help us today. And I'm not talking about us just being a bunch of prideful smart alecks, but for us just to stay with what we got when we first got saved. Lord, I mean with all my heart, I don't want to disappoint you. I don't want to disappoint you. I'm not looking to please men. I want to be a friend to people. But yonder on the Mississippi River, there's a group of people call me pastor. There's a bunch of little kids, and I walk outside and say, hey, preacher. There's a bunch of teenagers that say, hey, good looking, and they whistle. And then there's some elderly folks and middle-aged people, and they're out working hard today. I want them to have an old-fashioned, independent Baptist preacher. And I want them to be proud of their Central Baptist Church and it being distinctively different. Help us today, oh God. Move in this meeting. Help us to be overlivers, like this meeting mentions, overlivers. Live that which we've been taught and help us to carry it on. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're going to have just some music play. A lot of people's come to the altar. How about it? While they play, would you come? Come on. Come on. Don't be ashamed to come. Don't be ashamed to come.